fresh look at our giving. In my last sermon here in the English service, I told you the story of a new believer by the name of Jimmy, Brother Jimmy. Brother Jimmy died recently, but had no relatives in the United States. His wife from China wanted to come to the U.S., but she was never granted a visa to come. She applied visa 3 times. Every time she got rejected. So she was not even able to come to the funeral service. My wife, therefore, volunteered to become Jimmy's durable power of attorney to handle all the paperwork for him. 2 weeks ago, my wife and I went to China to deliver Jimmy's ashes and the money Jimmy left behind to his wife, Lee. To my right, that's my wife, and then next to my wife is Lee, the wife of Jimmy. We deliver Jimmy's ashes and the money Jimmy left behind to Lee. Jimmy did not have any income for a long while, so all he had left behind was $1,700 US. Although it was not a huge amount of life savings, it was still a significant amount to a young widow who had been unemployed for the last several years in China. Lee was a former biology high school teacher, but now she is out of a job. The day we arrived in China, we immediately met up with Lee in the evening. Thank God, after dinner, we were able to talk about our faith. We were able to lead her to Christ that evening. Thank God that her decision was very genuine, and she was very sincere to confess her sins and accept Jesus as her personal Savior. After we explained to her our assurance of salvation, I also read to her different Bible passages about the hope of bodily resurrection we have as Christians. She was greatly encouraged by these Bible verses that she did not understand before. She now knows for sure that one day she will meet her husband again with a glorified body. Before we left that evening, she did something that really touched our hearts. Out of gratitude, she handed us back $1,000 out of the $1,700 she received from us earlier. She said, "I'm so grateful to God, Jesus Christ, and I wanted to give this to your church." She said this in tears. God used this story to refresh my understanding of giving. Yes, as a pastor, I have read, I have taught, and I have preached on giving different times, many times. But this time, God used this young widow's giving to give me a fresh look at this familiar subject. Lee is the modern version of the poor widow who gave sacrificially in the New Testament. Dear brothers and sisters, giving is not a new subject to the majority of us here in this auditorium. However, my prayer for all of you this morning is that you can have a fresh look at this subject as we study Deuteronomy chapter 26, which is a passage that talks about our giving to God. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you will indeed give us a fresh understanding on this subject. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From this passage, Deuteronomy 26, we learn of the following important principles about our giving to God. To be specific, three important principles on giving. Number one, it should be taught before we receive income. Look at the text. Then it shall be when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, and you possess it and live in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground which you bring in from your land that the Lord your God gives you. Keep in mind that this principle of giving was taught to the Israelites before, not after, before they enter the promised land to receive their possession. This is such an important principle for us to remember. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that we should delay teaching this subject until we start receiving regular income. The other day, I heard how a father taught his teenage son the important principle of tithing. He said to his son, "Son, you told dad that you are planning to start working next year. You told me that you want to be a paper boy, you want to deliver a newspaper starting next year. That's great. That means you're going to have income for the very first time in your life." Keep in mind, you know, God's instruction with regards to tithing. So this father, he took a piece of paper and he wrote down three words on this piece of paper. He wrote down, time, talents, tithes. He pointed at the word time. Well, in order to show our love for someone, we're going to spend time with him or her, right? If we want to show our love for God, we need to spend time reading the Bible, praying to him, having a devotion, quiet time, and stuff like that. Talents. If we say we love God, we should utilize our talents to serve others. That's a concrete way to express our love to God. Tithes. Same thing. If we really want to express our love to God, we need to be faithful to the scriptural teaching on tithing. We are to give at least 10% to God. This is what he requires of us. Now, after he said that, he drew a curved line under these words. Now the father looked at his son and said, "Son, from my experience, I know sometimes it's hard to give of your time to God. Sometimes it's also hard to give of your talents to help people, but it's even harder to give your tithes. But let me tell you a practical way to make it easier for you to tithe." So he pointed to this curved line and started to erase all the letters except the T's. So after you erase all the words, what you see on the paper is this: T, T, T. The father is trying to communicate the reason why we give. The reason why we offer tithe to our Lord is all because what Christ did on the cross on Calvary. If Christ did not die on Calvary, we would not have been given time, talents, and ability to make money. It's all because of God's grace, because of what he did for us. And that's why we have time, we have talent, we have ability to make money. So if we really understand this, then it's easier for us to tithe back to God. I admire this father's teaching. Before his son started working, he already taught his son the important principle on tithing. Brothers and sisters, we should remember that this teaching needs not to be delayed. I understand a lot of you are still in college. You don't have to wait until you receive income to start Bible study on this subject. Some of you are making income, but you are not making a lot. You may not be making enough to cover all the expenses. Perhaps you say, well, I'll wait until, you know, I have more income. No, you don't need to do that. Remember, a very important principle we learn from this passage is to learn, is to teach, is will be willing to be taught on this subject before we receive income. Second, oh, by the way, let me add another thing. Other than teaching on the reason why we tithe or offer offering, we also need to teach these important teachings on this subject. Give individually. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. On the first day of every week, each one of you, individually, not collectively, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. Give regularly. Teach on that. Same verse, but the first phrase says, on the first day of every week. It clearly implies we are to give regularly, not once a lifetime, not once in a long while, but give regularly. Give proportionately. Deuteronomy 16, 17. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. Give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Give above and beyond our tithe. Deuteronomy 12:6. There you shall bring your burnt offering, your sacrifice, your tithes, the contribution of your hand, your votive offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock. You understand throughout the scriptures, we learn that other than tithing, there is another kind of offering, we call it freewill offering. If we were to look at the program each week, you understand we use both words, tithe and offering. When we teach on this subject, let us also teach each other, let us be willing to be taught on the difference on the two. If I were to summarize the difference, tithe is, here's a contrast between the two. Tithe, God specifies the amount we give. Whereas offering, God's children determine the amount to give, to offer to the Lord. Tithing is our way to express loyalty to God. As for offering, is a way to express our gratitude to God. We don't need to delay this teaching until we receive income. Those of you who are parents, start teaching that while your children are young. Those of you who are not receiving income yet, do not resent to this teaching. Be willing to learn on this important teaching. Other than that, as we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 26, we learn of the second principle on this subject. It should be given in a way that honors the Lord. Notice the text. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 and 2. Notice the words that are highlighted. You shall take some of the first of all the produce. First of all the produce. First fruit. Please notice that offering our first fruit is really a way to honor the Lord. Now suppose, use your imagination. I understand some of you have a lot of fruit trees in your backyard. Suppose you are a retiree who loves persimmons. You live in a senior citizen apartment that does not allow you to grow any fruit tree. But you have two sons. And both of your sons live in houses, and they both have nice backyards, and they grow, you know, persimmon trees. One year, both of your grown-up sons had a great harvest of persimmons. Son A gave you a full bag of sizable and very juicy persimmons. You're very happy. And son B also gave you another full bag of good persimmons. Notice the size, quality, and quantity of persimmons both of your sons gave were quite similar. However, you favor son A giving over son B's giving. Why? Because son A gave you the persimmons in late September, which is the first harvest of the season. And son B gave you his crop after Christmas holiday, which is the end of the season. Needless to say, son A has indeed honored you by giving you the first harvest, because Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all of your produce." Our giving to God should be given in such a way that honors the Lord. A good way to apply this is to refrain from giving God our leftovers. Studies have shown that a lot of Christians today give only leftovers to God. When money comes in, many people take care of their needs and wants, and with what they have left over, they then give to God. Please understand, it's hard to honor God with leftovers, isn't it? If we give Him the leftovers of what we have, do we think God feels honored by us? Probably not. Now use our imagination again. Imagine you go out to a nice restaurant for dinner with your family. You order a delightful meal, great steak, great and fresh vegetables, and fantastic desserts. You, of course, ate the greater majority of it, but you could not consume everything. So what do? You ask for a box. You could not finish everything, so you put the leftovers in a box to take home. Imagine if you have a special guest visiting the next evening. Would you open your refrigerator and take this out to serve your special guest? Most likely not. Why not? Because you will be embarrassed, and your guests will not feel honored. In a similar way, when we give God first fruit, it implies, it shows that we honor Him. But if we only give Him the leftovers, it's just the opposite. Dear brothers and sisters, may this be a good reminder to all of us. Let us not give God the leftovers. Let us really honor the Lord with our first fruit. Third, it should be offered as an act of worship. Now, we've read this passage already. Allow me to reread it for you. "You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, 'I declare this day to the Lord my God that I have entered the land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us.' Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar, the Lord your God. You shall answer and say before the Lord your God, 'My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down to Egypt and sojourned there few in number, but there he became a great, mighty, and populous nation, and the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us and imposed hard labor on us. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction and our toil and our oppressions. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arms and with great terror and with signs and wonders. And he has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now behold, I have brought the first of the produce of the ground which you, the O Lord, have given me, and you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. In order to have better understanding of this passage, I need a volunteer to help me to act out this passage. I have a volunteer, Frank. Now look at the text. We're going to reread this. Okay. You shall go to the priest. Suppose I'm the priest. Who is in office at that time and say to him,
I declare this day to the Lord, my God, that I have entered the land which the Lord swore to give our fathers, or the fathers give to us.
Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar, the Lord your God. You shall answer and say before the Lord your God,
my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down to Egypt and sojourned there. Few in numbers, but there he became a great, mighty, and populous nation. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us, and imprisoned us, imposed hard labor on us. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, and our toil and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, and with a great terror and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now behold, I have brought the first of the produce of the ground which you, O Lord, have given me.
And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship. Notice the word worship in the original means prostrate. Worship before the Lord your God. Thank you, Frank. I'm particularly intrigued by the very last verse of this passage that says, and you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. Now, pay attention to the pronoun you, the very last sentence, the one that has not been highlighted, and you. Now, the pronoun you here is not referring to the priest. It's referring to the person who brought forth the first fruit. Now, it really intrigued me. I was very intrigued by this verse because if you look at the entire passage, you understand the entire passage tells us that our offering to God is an act of worship. No doubt about that. And the very end, the very last verse of this passage also tells us that worshiping through giving was not the sole responsibility of the priest. Do you get that? It's not the sole responsibility of the priest. The one who brought the offering should not think that his job was done as soon as he handed his offering to the priest. He was to take an active part in the act of worship. The same principle should be applied to us today. When you worship God through giving every week, don't think that your job is done after you place your money into the offering plate. You are to take an active part in the entire offertory. May I therefore suggest the following. Number one, do not be an observer during offertory. Partake in offertory. Focus on God's goodness to you during offertory. You realize earlier when we read the text, remember when Frank read the text? Now, this is a recitation the Israelites were to recite, the portion they were to recite every time when they offer their first fruit to the Lord. If you were to summarize the entire passage, it all basically talks about the goodness of God to the Israelites in the past. So when during the offertory, we should not be an observer. We also need to just think about, just focus on, you know, God's goodness to us in the past. How has God been good to me? Focus on that. Number three, worship God with your heart as we sing the doxology. Why we place doxology after our offering? Because it should be looked at the consummation of our worship. We want to surrender everything to God, and we want to acknowledge He is the real source of all blessings. We're going to appeal to every creature on earth and every angel in heaven. Let us all join our hearts to praise God. Praise Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. May God help us. I trust that as we apply these principles, we will be participants as we give our tithing and offering every week. I just pray, as I started this sermon, I said, my prayer for you this morning is that you will be able to have a fresh look on this familiar subject. And I just pray that indeed God has answered our prayer and you did have a fresh look at this familiar subject. But as I close this morning, I would also like to say a word to those of you who may still be struggling in financial giving to God. Allow me to use an object lesson to encourage you. Before I do that, may I draw your attention to two verses. Number one, Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, not leftovers. Honor the Lord with your wealth. And when we honor the Lord, you know what happened? This is God's promise. And if you have struggled in the area of financial giving, I pray that you will remember and you will experience God's promise in this particular verse. 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. 1, 2, 3. 1 stands for 1 Samuel 2, chapter 2, 3, verse 30. For those who honor me, God said, I will honor. Those who honor me, I will honor. If we honor God with our first fruit, He will honor you. This is the object lesson. There are two kinds of Christians today. The first kind, it's the kind of Christian who handle their finances well. Let's say this is your income. When you receive your income, you first of all give money to M. M stands for your mortgage. F stands for your family. There are a lot of expenses, your kids, and all the expenses incur. S stands for self. Self-entertainment, the toys you want to buy, vacations and so forth. There's nothing wrong to spend money on that. But then you have very little left for God. There's another type of Christian. Their priority is a little different. When they receive income, first thing they do is to offer their first fruit to God. Then your mortgage. Then your family. Then yourself. Well, perhaps you need more for your family. What I'm trying to say. But when you compare these, you say to yourself, I still need more. Or, you know, perhaps as an outsider, well, how you manage, you know, you have some unexpected expenses here and there. You know, if you put God first, don't worry about it. Because of the verses we have just looked at, if we honor God, God will honor us. If we honor God by giving Him our first fruit, not leftovers, He will honor us. How does He honor us? Yeah, look at this. He will honor us. Well, the first group of Christians will say, wow, I want that too. I want that too. Come on, give me. It doesn't work that way. But for this, God has promised. He will honor those who honor Him. No, I want the same blessing. It doesn't work that way. But it always worked this way. Do you get it? Before I pray the closing prayer this morning, let me say a word to those of you who are still in college, or young adults, or even young married couples. Our own statistics have shown that those who are between 20s and 40s have more struggles in honoring the Lord with our wealth than those who are in their 50s, 60s, and above. May I challenge you? Do you really trust in this particular promise God has given you? For those who honor me, I will honor. Let us pray. Father, it's all about faith. Those who are struggling in this area, God, we want to pray that you will increase their faith. Help them to experience your promise in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.